96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 23rd of March, 2022, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Well, good morning this morning. We got a lot to talk about in today's show, so let me give you our call in and text in information. You can call us at 323-6232-325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. That's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. We're also streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You could listen on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or Flow Channel 612. Remember, you can download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. And then remember, On the Clock has a WhatsApp number and a group. You can add On the Clock on 1-242-428-0719. You can also text On the Clock at 1-242-428-0719 or join the group by clicking on the invite link on the Clock Facebook account on their page. Good morning. My guests in studio with me are Mr. Matt Aubrey from Organization for Responsible Governance and Mr. Tate Adley. He's also from Organization for Responsible Governance. Wait, look here, you got like six jobs now. If you wasn't so young, I'd already been looking at your resume, see if you're ready for marriage. Because every woman looking for a man with six jobs. But fortunately for you, you too young for me. Anyway, Mr. Adley is going to talk to us about a new NGO, non-governmental organization, that aims to help the Bahamian people better navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. That's why I like that. And so, say good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron.
Now, I wanted to bring you all in at the top as opposed to halfway through, because I got a little housekeeping I got to do, and maybe you have an opportunity to add a word or two. First things, this is very important. Yesterday, I saw a video floating around. Now, the caption on the video alleges that the men who were being detained in what looked like not a proper cell, but maybe a police station cell. They're being detained somewhere. The caption alleges that these were Bahamians, unhoused people, and people we call vagrants or who loiter, and we call panhandle. They're asking for money. And the caption on the video suggested, or the picture suggested, that these men had been detained by the state for the purpose of the royal visit. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe we could have a word from the Ministry of National Security or the Royal Bahamas Police Force confirming or denying said caption. This is important, right? These people have rights. No matter how much they annoy us, right? They have rights. And the state has an obligation. Well, has obligations, plural, a duty of care, sometimes multiple duties, right? Of care for these individuals. And so just the idea that we would corral people to invisibilize them because the royal people, the crown, come in. This is heinous. This is anti-constitutional. It's unconstitutional. It's unchristian. It's undemocratic. And for God's sake, is no decency within it. There are people who are obligated to look out, look after, take care, right? Sometimes it's just it's not a direct, like we'd say, a direct duty of care. You don't have the obligation to house them, but you must ensure that they have access to safe and adequate housing. Anyway, I would like to see a statement from the Minister of National Security or from the police about this before the royal visit and not after the royal visit. And I think y'all should start practicing that because I saw a little late, Nassau Guardian article entitled "Hannah, Media Exaggerating Crime Issue." Let me tell you, sir, nothing could be farther from the truth. Now, perhaps what you were thinking about saying was, like, if you compare crime in the Bahamas to crime in Haiti, then maybe y'all are getting a little upset. Like, you know, maybe if you juxtapose what you're going through with what other people going through, you wouldn't be so upset about it. But certainly, nobody is exaggerating what is happening in the Bahamas right now, and certainly not me. And in this instance, I'm going to speak for me. When you say media, I thought you was meaning me. Well, no, nobody's exaggerating about anything, sir. Nothing. Not one thing. Everything these people are telling you is correct. It's what's happening on the roads. If you use the CCTV cameras that we spend so many millions of dollars to install, you would see that. The people who have to keep calling the station to be told that there's no car, right? Could I tell you how many times the police have told me, well, miss, you're going to have to get in the car and drive it to the station for us to fingerprint it. I said, what? Right? Like if I told y'all that my gas tank was stolen, the two different gas tanks were stolen within the space of 10 months. It's like right when the gas is about to run out and it's the safest time to remove it, like unprofessionally, even if you are professional, like that's when they come for it. Two times. So when I suggested the police, like, no, surely y'all have a whole unit that's dedicated to stolen gas tanks because it's a pandemic. And y'all tell me, well, maybe if I could find the pieces and bring them into the station, y'all could fingerprint them there. People are not exaggerating about anything. And what we want y'all to do is please just do what you mandated to do. Follow the duty, the obligations that you have per the Constitution, per the legislation that authorizes you. Please just do that. We're not mad at you. No, not at all. We're not mad at you. When you hear me screaming, I'm not screaming at you. I'm screaming for you. There's a big difference. It's a big difference. You know? Yeah. So some more news. I buck into somebody. I want to say good morning to Miss Letitia Nemore, representative from Southern College School of Nursing and Allied Health. They're having an open house today, and I just wanted to make this note. Listen, career opportunities in nursing, they are boundless. They're boundless. You know why? People getting older every day. Old people, it's like children born in every day. Old people born in every day, and they're going to need care. Don't mind that they're not going to ask you for care. Forget that part. They're going to need it. So prepare yourself. Elder care, geriatric care, end-stage care, general, just in-home care, because a lot of older people don't know how to bend to their cradle, and they're going to fall and hurt themselves. They're going to need you to help them. Please and thank you. Anyway, go check out that open house. Now, I say that because yesterday I met one of my fans in the food store. And let me tell you something. Our elderly community need a lot of care and attention. They're very frustrated, unable to navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. It frustrates many of them to no end, to the point where they have to lash out at strangers that are trying to live their lives. So I just want to say to my biggest fan, if you see me trying to buy eggs with no meat in it, and I'm asking the staff why there's meat in the eggs with no meat in it, mind your own business, okay? Don't tell me that if I don't want to eat the eggs with the meat in it, don't buy it, because it's the food store that advertises meatless eggs. You know, they are the ones who call me and tell me, come get the eggs that don't have no meat in it. That's how we sell it. And so if I'm asking them why is there meat in the eggs again, don't ask me nothing, miss. Please. Let me spend my money how I want to spend my money. And if Rasta don't want meat in their eggs, let Rasta talk to the people who put meat in the eggs. And if you don't like it, you go buy the eggs with the meat in it. And let me not buy the eggs that are not supposed to have meat in it. It's almost as if y'all think we're just supposed to accept whatever is thrown in front of us. And I apologize that you felt that you had to do that. I apologize that for almost, we're going on 50 years now, y'all have felt like y'all have just had to suck up anything that the political class throws at you. But the tens and tens of thousands of dollars that you have forced your children to take and pay for their education has led us to this place where we will not tolerate that. It's too late for that. And it is our job to lead you into the promised land. This is the Joshua generation y'all keep crying for. Let them open the door, please. Give them the key. You keep crying for them. So to the lady in the food store, let me just say this. Don't pick fights. Don't pick fights in the Bahamas. In the Bahamas, you could die from a paper cut. You could die from a paper cut. Don't pick fights, please. The way my insurance is set up, me and you could die. Me and you, we could die. Don't watch nothing. Anyway, one more note. Good morning to Angelique McKay, Christopher Davis, Michael Peter Pateman, Robin Lightburn, and the great Oswald White. Good morning from the Bahamas to Ghana, the Sankofa Flamingo family. While the Bahamas is getting ready to welcome the British royal family, they had the honor of being welcomed into the Ahanta tribe by Otumfuo Bedu Bonsu the 15th, Ahanta Henny, the longest reigning king on the African continent. Greetings to you, my brethren and sistren. Greetings to you. So, gentlemen, this morning I was supposed to have Miss Candy Gibson joining us. The crown is coming. Now, y'all be polite. They're my cousins. Don't make me have to tell y'all the story again, right? I had to tell the boy we are really cousins, so don't call him a king yet, because he can't be a king yet, because that's my cousin, and I ain't a queen yet, so it can't happen. So Candy was supposed to join us this morning to talk about the event that she announced that they were hosting over the 2 days of the royal visit. But unfortunately, Candy has been called to work, to do the work that she has committed herself to doing. And we want to share condolences to the families, relatives, friends, loved ones of those who have had their lives taken over the last 24 to 48 hours in particular. And we say, Candy, we stand with you as you do this difficult work. I thought it would be great to have Candy on from FOAM, Family of All Murder Victims, with Organization for Responsible Governance, and to learn about this new organization, Access Parliament, that you guys are here to talk about. But just before we go into that, I've got three, actually. So not everybody is interested in the royal visit like I thought they was. I had already started working on my flamingo aerial display, and it turns out that some people are upset. So we've seen from Jamaican, a large swath of Jamaicans have said, hey, hold up, rewind selector. We didn't invite you, and we would like to express formally protests, like our objection to you coming, and they're not going to participate. I'm not going to read from that letter today. We'll find more time. And then last night, well, day before yesterday, Candy Gibson and FOAM announced that they were planning a demonstration during the royal visit, which is slightly different, I think, from what was expressed by the Jamaican Group Advocates Network. And I was really interested in asking Candy about that, because I think it's a bit of suave and subversive advocacy, right? It's not a protest, right? Like I join a, I ain't come to protest y'all. Like I say, this is my cousin, I welcome you, but we gotta talk. And that's how Barbados regional advocates and academics approached it when David Cameron came to visit a few years ago, and they were like, brethren, you people, your people had slaves in Barbados. We are descended from slaves in Barbados. That makes us cousins. You know, let's talk. Let's have a conversation. And I think what Candy's attempting to do is to create a conversation, right, that focuses on the need of the people. For me, my engagement would be not adversarial, but advocacy-based, right? And Candy is like, look, you guys do women's rights, human rights work. I do that work. Y'all are here. Why y'all don't come? Let me tell y'all about what we're doing. Don't mind. I'm really here because my government's not really paying attention to it. But you're here now, and let's look at it. And I think that's a very smart move. By someone that is trying to raise awareness about the issues that they work on. Like I say, she didn't say protest. She didn't say bring out your signs, we barricading up the road. She said we want to have a demonstration to demonstrate to the royal family what are some of the most important issues we think are in the Bahamas. And that's why I wanted her to link with you guys, because I thought that would be a great conversation, and the conversation could help build capacity, and maybe we could generate some new ideas for the demonstration and for other advocates who are trying to figure out how to navigate this difficult advocacy space where you rely on formal structures for funding and access to things like information that we're going to talk about today. But the root of your work is really challenging what's happening in those formal spaces, right? And it can be very difficult. And like I noticed as an advocate working alone for many, many years, for almost 13 years, it takes a lot of strategy to be able to navigate this space as one person or as one organization. So Candy, wherever you are, I want to say, look here, we understand why you can't join us this morning. Just thank you for being committed to the work that you are doing. Producer, let's get to these calls, and we're going to take a break, and then we're going to get into the conversation. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron. And how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Okay, Aaron. You know, let's agree. See if we could disagree to agree.
Okay.
Okay. I would have to lean toward Superintendent Hanna's comment in respect to the media, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Young men, the black males,
mm-hmm.
have been brutalized, murdered I started an advocacy address issue of single fathers in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
We have had thousands of murders since 2003 of black males.
Mm-hmm.
Either they were the victims or they were the perpetrators. Then you have this issue of children
mm-hmm.
who are being raped. Young girls giving birth from as young as 8, and in some cases 10 to 14 in the hundreds. But mm-hmm. who is getting the coverage? Who is having the committees formed and the led to pose legislation to address the issues.
No, Cleaver, I feel you. I appreciate what you're saying. I can take it even a step further,
uh-huh,
and to left field, right? I can upset a lot of people right now. And women in this country have the resources, both sort of financial and academic, if strategized and organized properly, to deal with many of the issues that they face. And I can push it a step further, but I can throw this out there,
right,
to you, Cleaver. I'm going to suggest that you don't mind the formation of committees, right? And the announcement of panels and bills and we're going to implement this and that. All of the talk that it gets, does it result into substantive action, to real action? And I can say the government is using all of us and playing us and pitting us against each other.
No, but then my only point is this,
yeah,
right? I say this very humbly, you know, because I ain't trying to ruffle, of course, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only trying to be understood. My thing is this.
Mm-hmm.
We have had a young man being murdered last night. First
mm-hmm.
thing this morning, another one being murdered, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not hearing any noise. Because many in media seems as if that this is the norm now. When you have, if you have a bad day, Aaron, you just go by the Queen's Staircase and watch the young girls coming up the Queen's Staircase, coming from Pace.
Mm-hmm.
Young, innocent children, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the women who, well, we can, if you check the Vital Statistics Report, I can give you the numbers. We have thousands of children.
Yeah, man. And Cleaver, I'm gonna reinforce your point and maybe express it like this, is that women have all of this potential energy, right? And the
yeah.
focus is on them, and it's not being translated into kinetic energy. And the focus is on them, and there's lots of talk, and there's lots of money pouring in and popping up, but nothing real is being done, even
yeah,
in that
then,
space.
But then they are now everywhere you turn, every station you turn.
You don't mind that. You don't mind that. That's a very specific political lobby,
women
right?
Did
you
raped,
see
married
it?
Women who are being raped. And then you have the legislation in Section 15 of the Sexual Offense.
Yeah, yeah, no. If it ain't called rape, then it ain't rape. If it ain't called rape, then you ain't addressing the problem.
The problem with the children who are being raped who can't walk away.
I agree.
But they're giving the women who can walk away from this thing by
no.
Cleaver,
here's what I'm saying to you. Your suggestion that there is a concerted effort or a directed conspiracy to divert funds, resources, or attention to this specific area. What I'm telling you,
hold on. What Mr. Hanna was saying.
No, that ain't what he's saying.
The statistics does not
listen,
bear.
That's not what he's saying. The statistics do bear it. They're two separate situations. See what's happening with young men in the country?
Yeah.
Women aren't causing it. Now, we could say that, listen, these women are tingsy and the young men, they don't have the financial capacity to live up to what the women expect of them, so they join in this gang life. But that ain't the root of it. We have a systemic problem, and the same people who are ignoring the problem of violence against men in this space are the same people who are at the root of the problem. This is an economic problem. This is a housing problem. This is a systemic problem. There's not enough money out there. See, every time I talk about electricity, people just laugh at me and say, you're just running on with a personal problem. People don't have enough money in their wallet after they pay their light bill to be able to do the things they're supposed to do. The cost of housing is too high. There's a housing crisis. Why? They repealed the Immovable Properties Act, and now anybody could buy anything and set the price beyond the scope of the average Bahamian. What's happening to young men in our country is a hundreds-year-old systemic problem where the young men who make up the majority of the country will never realize, right, the identities, they'll never achieve the lives of the people who lead the country, like up at the top, what the political class think is owed to them. And that's where the disconnect lies. Here's where it also lies. You keep telling these young men and these young women that to be adults, they have to have their own house. But for many of them to be adults, they can deal drugs and sell their bodies and do illegal things, while the people who manage the economy and the finances of the country refuse to fix the systems. so that the economy will be balanced and people will be paid not what they owed, but what they need to survive. And see, I didn't want to go down here, but I want to thank you, Cleveland, because the older person yesterday caused this. We got a lot of older people who have created a country that they can no longer control. They don't understand it. They don't know what to do next, but they cannot let go of the reins of power. They want all of the control and none of the responsibility or the obligation to look into the faces of younger Bahamians and say, we don't know what to do next. We may have failed you. We now need you to step up and act like you were always a part of the process. That's what's happening with young men. We have created an environment where they cannot realize the identities we have ascribed to black men. And women are perpetuating that too. But the violence against women historically is against men historically is disproportionate to the violence against women. And the violence against men is occurring. The physical violence, the guns at the hands of other men. We are all responsible for the violence in the system. But women are being killed by men who have been or feel they have been emasculated by the system, but feel as women emasculating them. You know what I'm saying? The women are being killed by men. The men are being killed by men. The women are not killing these young men in these numbers. And that's the disconnect, Cleaver. But at the end of the day, don't let them pit us against each other. These systems have to be interrogated and detangled collectively. We got to do the work together. I want to thank you, Cleaver. And I can thank you for the commitment you've made to make trying to push things along your whole life, man. Got to take a break. I had to play the song, It's Our Jamaican Brethren. We can listen to them for a moment.
Burn it down entirely. Say Babylon till your time has expired. Brimstone, thunder, and lightning.
Bust more shots than Neymar. Drop bombs, near palm, pity car, steer arm. Babylon, if you go steer palm.
Kills on E-Cock, then cheer palm.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On The Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On The Clock with Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
We believe in relationship banking. We take pride in getting to know our clients. You have access to knowledgeable, approachable ambassadors and financial coaches so that we can recommend the best product for you. At Fidelity, we care about you. From your financial health to your physical health, we can relate to you because we're just like you. Come and start your relationship banking experience with us today. Visit us online at fidelitygroup.com. Visit any of our branches in Nassau or Grand Bahama, or phone 356-7764 in Nassau, or 352-6676 for Freeport.
Burn it down entirely, say Babylon till your time has expired. Brimstone, thunder, and lightning.
Bust more shots than Neymar. Drop bombs, near palm, pity car, steer arm. Babylon, if you go steer palm.
Kills on E-Cock, then cheer palm. Slaughter the church at Charleston.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green and my guests, Matt Aubrey and Tate Adley. Okay, just the last thing I'm going to say, guys, before we get into this segment. Because I just said it in the break, what I appreciate about Candy's strategy is that those who have experienced violence understand the need to avoid it, the need to avoid violence as much as possible. And she looks for a strategy that highlights the problem without being aggressive or perpetuating more violence.
Well, what I think it ultimately speaks to, though, is that these complex issues, I think you said it so well before the break, these complex issues are not simple, they're not easily fixed, and they're not necessarily fixed by ways that have been effective in the past. And so the solutions lie beyond government. Mm-hmm. So you see groups like FOAM, and we're, you know, we've worked with Candy and FOAM for a long time, looking at creating innovative spaces. You see NGOs and other civil society groups or marginalized communities across the Caribbean that have utilized this opportunity as a way to raise their voices and be seen. Mm-hmm. We're seeing even in the scheduled visits, I think, coming for the royal visit, they're going to be going to Grand Bahama Children's Home, and they're going to be learning about coral issues and things. So what we see is that it's beyond just anything that one government can fix, any government. Mm-hmm. And so we all have a role in these scenarios. The citizen who's dealing with the issue that pops up unexpectedly outside of their door, the folks that are caught up in and marginalized by the system, the dynamics of groups that have organized to try and address that. And so as we look at coming up with solutions, one of the biggest things I think is not that things are not happening. When you look at just the issue of domestic violence, there's so many groups. When you look at the issue of youth and crime or violence, there are so many churches and not-for-profits and government programs. You know, we were just at a job ready initiative that was run by Ministry of Youth and speaking mm-hmm. to them about, you know, getting youth involved in governance. But we have to tackle it together. I think what we all tend to address is that this is what I can do. You know, we're not necessarily cognizant of all the other things that are out there and where I might fit in that solution. Mm-hmm. So the program that we're about to talk about today is called Access Parliament, and it really is the brainchild of Tate, who is our Freedom Schools manager. So he does civic education in the community, but in looking beyond that, and again, this talks about the value of having lots of different minds and talents working towards that, is it can't just be about educating folks and saying this is the way it is. We've mm-hmm. also got to create avenues right. for them to get involved and bridge that divide that goes between government and the citizenry. So with that, I will actually let Tate talk a little more.
Yeah. So as Matt mentioned earlier. Yeah. I'm the Freedom Schools manager at Org Bahamas, mm-hmm. right? And in my Freedom Schools presentations, one of the things that I focus on is government structure and mm-hmm. how that works and information on it. And through these presentations, I would have realized that not a lot of persons kind of understand how government works. And since my background is public administration, I'm interested in public policy, dealing with legislation and law, I had a particular interest to Parliament. When I would try to reach out and watch it and understand things about it, I always found that there was a barrier of difficulty of trying to understand things. And then putting myself in other person's shoes, I realized that I probably am not the only one who has a difficulty trying to understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. And late last year, I decided to launch Access Parliament, but put it in a sort of prototype phase.
Okay.
And seeing what could happen, what things could work, and seeing how the public would respond to that. And so I would say that its official kind of soft launch happened last week. And basically, it's sort of a initiative that basically seeks to make Parliament more accessible for Bahamians.
Okay.
And I like to divide them between two phases. One is information, one is engagement.
Okay, guys, just about to say, will you provide me access to my parliamentarian?
Right.
Yes. So Access Parliament, in simple, straightforward terms, it is a social media tool that allows folks to keep abreast of what's going on in Parliament and have a role by talking to their parliamentarian, by learning about the legislation that's been brought forward. So via Facebook and
Twitter.
Online tools, Twitter, people can be posted about what's going on and encouraged to see it. We realize that a lot of orgs work. I mean, orgs' focus is ultimately how do we work on addressing these long-term issues. And so it's required of how do we bring private sector and the government and civil society all together. And we've provided that through research and ideas and a lot of public education. But this is one of a few recent things that we've done that really create that strict bridge. So mm-hmm. so persons can, when they're following Access Parliament, they can subscribe. And by doing so, they'll be notified when a particular member of Parliament is going to speak. They'll be notified what types of points are going to be addressed in or scheduled to be mm-hmm. addressed in the session of the Parliament that
day. Because research, looking for songs online is difficult. C- could imagine trying to figure out when are they going to speak? What do you think they're going to speak about?
Right.
When should I tune in? It becomes overwhelming mm-hmm. for people who really want to be engaged.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And, you know, I think one of the most important things is that if we want persons to get involved, right? Hey, dog, we want persons to get involved. We want persons to take more ownership of government.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing about it is trying to understand what is going on your behalf, mm-hmm. right? And so one of the things that we're also looking at is trying to simplify legislation. Like last week, they were talking about the mid-year budget review. We went about simplifying that. And then there's also, I think, seemingly so, there's going to be a tranche of legislation coming out this year. You know, they were talking about the marijuana bill, stuff such as the gender-based violence bill.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, and also even the budget itself. So I think there is a need for this because if you want persons to appreciate what you're doing, the political class it is, mm-hmm. I think it's important for persons to understand that. And right now, there is a very big barrier to understanding what is happening. And
yeah.
so Access Parliament seeks to break that down.
Right.
What we know is that having better citizen participation and awareness of what's going on in Parliament has some really specific benefits.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
One of those being that government is now, so think about the fact, you've just elected somebody, and all of a sudden, you don't quite know what happened. And 5 years later, you're asked to come back and do that. By being aware of when they're presenting and what they're presenting, you'll recognize, hey, my constituency is being represented on this issue. Or maybe they're not. And we need to access our voice. But it also drives government to be more effective and efficient with their policy development, but also how they spend tax monies.
Mm-hmm. And I want to say, I sat down and think, one of the questions I wanted to ask was, like, who's going to use this service? Who does it benefit most? Right? Who will it benefit and who will it benefit most? And I'm thinking that at the end of the day, the savvy politician, the savvy MP, the savvy senator, or political advocate, right? Like, so the savvy MP can find himself themselves a political advocate and say, look here, you see this thing called Access Parliament? What I need you to do is to build me a constituency team to use this tool to our benefit, right? I see a more informed parliamentarian. I see a more informed constituency representative. And not just a better sense of what's happening or what has happened historically in this constituency, but a better sense of what's going on in the constituencies around me, because I don't necessarily have the time to go find each MP and figure out what you're doing and then what's right. But I can access what my colleagues are doing through this tool as well.
It's also, and I think you're right, it ultimately should support all sides.
Mm-hmm.
The user, though, that it's been driven for to make it accessible is that average day-to-day Bahamian that doesn't have, you know, you're working all day. You don't necessarily have the time to sit and listen to the whole sessions of Parliament. You may be particularly interested on an issue that really is passionate for mm-hmm. you. You now have an ability to know that ahead of time. And this is a complement to some of the other tools that ORG has been putting out lately. So we have a policy review center. Mm-hmm. So when you find out that a new piece of legislation has been tabled, it will then be housed on our policy review center where you can go and read it. And then also there's an opportunity for you to put your recommendations or critiques or suggestions, and that will be shared directly with government.
Mm-hmm.
So it links it together. There are citizen charter tools which allow folks to be able to express their interests and their ideas on how effective government services are or what the government services should be doing to meet their particular needs. That's another tool that can then be shared with government. So if we're creating these dialogues, what we're doing is training both the citizen and the government to be better conversationalists, right? To,
mm-hmm.
to listen and learn from each other and use that information in the decision-making towards policy. It can obviously be identified by the savvy advocacy group or the savvy politician, but the hope is that the user is really the average politician, the average citizen, so that they can become better aware of what this is. And particularly, I think, from Tate has got a lot of thoughts around this, is the youth activist, is getting youth involved.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so I think one of the most important places that we've seen a lot of feedback and a lot of engagement is on Twitter itself.
Yeah.
And Twitter is a good space for young Bahamians. And they have a lot of voice. and they have a lot to say. Mm-hmm. And so we always talk about, and at the Good Government Symposium, we talked about youth and governance, yeah. right, youth and politics. And I think that there is a need for younger persons to get more involved. And hopefully through these initiatives, we are able to help people understand what is going on and possibly and hopefully how to begin the process of getting involved in civic processes.
Absolutely. Yeah. And sort of realizing their real proximity to politics and governance and disrupt what the political class has suggested.
And that's also something that if we start with the premise that the issues of today are bigger than just government, and but government by its own admission will say this, we need help from the private sector, from civil society, from the citizens, then we need to create spaces that are meaningful. And we also need to reinforce that the only way to solve these problems is not necessarily just through trying to find your space in elected politics, right? So this is a space where citizens can feel how that their input and their time can be well spent.
Right. Because somebody has to get the laws and upload them. Somebody has to organize that digital space. Then somebody has to organize it again and create a platform, almost like The Secret, where you could rabbit hole yourself into all kinds of different places, right? That sort of tech work. And then you need people who are going to design and make it accessible to various types of audiences. All of that for the sake of providing the politician with the platform they need for frontline politics. And that you find that you're an integral part of that process. Guys, I got two callers and a bunch of texts. But make sure, let's give ourselves 2 minutes at the end of the show so we can tell people how to access Parliament.
Right.
Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. Are you there? I am sorry I miss you, caller. Let's go to that second caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Caller, this is Dark Universe. We need justice, law, and order in this country. But call the Bahamas. Aaron, pretty eye green.
Bam, 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 bam. Thank you, Braven.
Okay. Mr. Martin.
Matt Aubrey.
Matt Aubrey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how are you, sir?
A couple of questions for you. With the royal family going to the school, right? I'm probably addressing the children. Mm-hmm. What's the benefit in that? What's the virtue in that? My other point is, right, how can the Bahamians assist government when the government are not educating the vast majority of the Bahamians, especially the young black men?
So
okay?
I think those are key questions. And I highlighted the visit to the Grand Bahama Children's Home simply because it is a non-governmental organization that is addressing a key issue that we have here in the Bahamas. So having greater exposure to the fact that the solutions that are being tackled by in the Bahamas are not solely being done by government. Grand Bahama Children's Home is addressing a long-standing issue of kids that have been displaced based on trauma and trying to bring them back in a space where it gives them the tools and the resources, right? Well, hold on just a second. So I'm not advocating specifically that group or specifically why the time should be spent there, more that we should be reinforcing that there are vibrant groups that are addressing these issues, and we need to put lights on those as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't see how the issue is going to be addressed. Here it is. We came out of slavery by those same people. They put us or our ancestors to float without any education. Okay? And are they trying to give us some education today?
So that's another key point. An organization for responsible governance, one of our pillars of focus is education reform. We believe, just like you, that there have not been the sufficient resources and effort to provide everyday person with the kind of education that allows them to be self-sufficient, self-directed, and productive in the way that they can. And that's going to be crucial if we want a positive future. Towards the education of governance, sorry, just one more piece, we actually do grassroots civic education, free mm-hmm. sessions. Tate is the manager of that and can speak to it. But we go into the community and speak at churches or schools or associations, wherever it might be that people want to understand. And it provides education on the basic premises of not only the fundamental of the Constitution, but also the premises of governance and tools and skills about how to become somebody that can advocate on behalf of yourself, your community, getting more involved.
I hope you'll be successful because it's much the same in every area of the Bahamas in which you go.
Thank you, Bremen. And I want to say this. Look here, y'all give these young people every opportunity to meet fancy rich people, please. And smart people and popular, well-known people. Because let me tell you why. In every moment that I've been in, that I've met somebody that I was like, wow, I can't believe I'm meeting this person. In that moment, I realized that I am that person. There is no difference between me and them. And give these little children the same opportunity to realize these truths about themselves. Anyway, that means we go into a break, producer. We go into a break, caller. Hold on if you can. And then when we get back from the break, we go through some texts and we're going to get some more information. How can you join Access Parliament? What type of help do they need? What type of volunteers do they need? Do they have membership? All kinds of things. We'll be right back.
Stay arm, Babylon a figure stay pose on the cock, then Trayvon, slaughter the church at all. Assassination, marksman, party five in a female. Innocent bloodshed upon their shoulders. As the day goes, their heart goes colder.
One thing there is no debate about is that BTC has the best rates. Now, the best rates just got better because you pay half the price of the other guys with your BTC home internet and mobile services combined. Switching to BTC is a no-brainer because I pay less with BTC and get super fast internet with speeds up to 600 megs. The other guys, their internet only go up to 105 megs.
Get all the internet you want at half the price when you bundle your home internet and mobile. Visit a BTC store to make the switch today. Conditions apply.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Brimstone, thunder, and lightning. I'm gonna set this place on fire. Burn it down entirely. Say Babylon.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Listen, there is just news, news, news. But have you heard the news? We're about to get naughty on Guardian Radio. Talking Heads premieres Monday and will air weekdays from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Talking Heads with Naughty right here on 96.9 FM and GuardianTalkRadio.com. I am looking forward to it, like an official reason to get naughty. Santa, just call the Guardian and ask them if I have permission. Please and thank you. Please and thank you. Okay, guys, here is some text. Okay, I got a text here. Said that photo was not in the Bahamas. That was in Haiti. Okay, good to know. I don't know what inside any of the detention centers or cells look like. And they look like brown and black people, like my people. So we have to ask until we're certain. And then I got a text here that says, slowly call the name of the longest reigning African king and please. Okay, so the name is, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly, Otumfuo Beidou Bonsu the 15th Ahantahene. That's Otumfuo Baidoo Bonsoo the 15th. Ahantahene, the longest reigning king on the African continent. Another text, boy, I tell you, this generation, everyone want to be seen. Tell the producer, play the song, Stop the World and Let Me Off. No, man, we like Burma Road. I want to know why the bullfrog get dressed up in soldier clothes, gone to the river to shoot some crows. I really want to know, and Ronnie Butler is not here to tell me. I've been saying it for years and will continue to say it. Conflict resolution should be taught in schools, not in boot camp or scared straight in schools. I agree. From primary school, right? From the beginning of school, it should be taught in homes.
One of the things that we've put forward and promoted for a number of years is social emotional education, which is just that, which mm-hmm. talks about conflict resolution. And it goes side by side with your regular academic education. So you're talking about how to apply the knowledge you get. You're talking about gender issues. You're talking about being able to problem solve, become a more critical thinker, mm-hmm. being able to ultimately manage your own resources as you go forward. So there's a lot that can be added into the curriculum, just as the texter says, that I think can benefit because these are the issues that our youth are seeing on a day-to-day basis.
Solving problems with money is no longer going to help us. All right, caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You still there? No, you gone? Producer, check that last caller. Caller, good morning. You're on the clock. Good morning.
We're not talking about something that is Hello? Far away.
Hi.
Like some of us are
sorry, I'm missing dial number.
You know.
Okay, that's my bad. I mean, that's your bad, but that's all good. Call next time for real, though. Okay, guys, access Parliament. How do I access it?
Yes. Yeah, so,
like, can I volunteer? Can I join? Because you got a lot of work to do.
Yes. So, since Org is partnering with Access Parliament, we have a sort of a membership program at Org, and that can be the way you can come into Access Parliament and assist us with this particular initiative.
Okay.
That's one way. But if you also want to look at our content, you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Access Parl. That is ACCESSPARL.
All right.
Or probably just type in Access Parliament and you'll be able to find it by that ad name as well. And then we also have a website called accessparliament.org, and you can find out some information about Parliament and possibly use our parliamentary directory tool, which isn't fully fleshed out as yet because we're working on getting better contacts. But
right, because look here, I keep seeing Frederick McElpine on the thing, but he looked like Senator Randy L. Roll. Are y'all brothers? Can Access Parliament figure out which one of them I'm supposed to call?
Yes. So we have a correct list. Right. We have the list from the Parliamentary Registration Department from the last election. And then we also have the updated list of senators from last year and this year as well.
All right.
So our lists are pretty updated, yes.
Quick question. Maybe find out if there is any funding available through digitization initiatives at the state level, funding for civil society participation or support mechanisms mm-hmm. to continue that work? Because, I mean, this is a part of that work.
We've gotten great support from the technical side. The folks, David Forbes and the folks from the Parliament, have been very forthcoming to make sure that we have information and access to the types of things that are scheduled on the legislative agenda. And making that, we're really going to provide a vehicle towards that.
Awesome.
We are a not-for-profit organization. This is a mm-hmm. not-for-profit initiative. Yeah. So we are seeking funding from private sector folks. Keeping it as independent and apolitical is a crucial thing.
Yes.
I think what we want to do, and Org has always had that deep in our veins, is we're there to be neutral. We're there to present information so that folks can use it to their own benefit. Uh-huh. And that doesn't come from a political agenda or driven from government. That's kind of the value in some ways, is to ensure that there's a consistent resource that you can trust and get information for so that you can make your own determinations. However you feel politically on one side of the fence or the other, or independent or another party, mm-hmm. it doesn't really matter. The information that's available to say what laws are being considered on your behalf and how do you understand that and how do you then express your own thoughts about it is what both Access Parliament and then the Policy Review Center through Org are going to be able to provide. So you can also check us out, follow Org on Facebook through Org Bahamas. You can check our Citizen Solution Center out, which is a website that you'll also be able to link to Access Parliament for, which is at orgtransparency.com. Mm-hmm. And you can then also find volunteer initiatives through both of those resources.
Absolutely. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining On the Clock this morning. I ran out of time. I caused us to run out of time. And so just as we ended, I want to say, you guys, check out Alicia Wallace's column in today's Tribune. We see violence against women all around us. Also, check out the statement from the Bahamas National Reparations Committee. I haven't had an opportunity to talk enough about that. But also, let us remind ourselves of this, is that there are many different reasons why, you know, the draw violence to us, right? There are many different roads we meet violence upon, but we're all impacted by violence. This isn't a tit for tat, oh, the women getting it worse than the men getting it, or the men getting it worse and y'all not paying attention. We're all impacted by the violence that takes place in our communities every day, and we all have the right to a life free of violence. Thank you for staying tuned. Guardian Radio AM is up next. It's going to be a wonderful day. Stay tuned. Have a great day, Bahamas. Nobody, don't look nobody. Full bronze dress.